It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, I hit the button.
Okay, good.
These are new levels, people. So tell us how they sound.
Level with us.
All right, we're done. Podcast over.
Yep.
Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that was originally supposed to be an audio-only version of Bill Cosby's picture pages targeted specifically at synesthetics.
Now, listen, you've said many times what this was originally supposed to be.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, whatever.
I'm fiercely proud of that joke, by the way. It took me a while to put it together, but I really liked it. Is that your ride?
No.
You have to go?
That's what you always say when there's sirens out there.
It's a Kevin Pollak joke. That's what he always says. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 131.
I don't think I ever tell you how much I appreciate you checking that out every time, so you can tell.
You're just being a smart aleck right now because I had to ask you when I got here.
I wasn't going to tell anybody.
I know, but I knew you were going to say something smart alecky, and there you did.
That doesn't sound like me. for those of you new to our epic saga, basically we found this parchment in Norway. No, sorry. That's a different podcast. We have a hat. I'm gesturing to it right now. It's magical in that it has its own email address. That email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. It checks its email. We don't check it. It checks it. And lovely viewers like you, I said viewers, I stand by it, write the hat with little emails with questions, topics, comments, that kind of thing. The hat, through its magic, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards that manifest within the hat itself. We draw them out of the hat at random, read them, talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole show. So welcome.
Welcome.
Sit down, won't you?
I wonder.
Stay a while.
You know, when you tell that story and people are hearing it, maybe not even just for the first time, but
in the 131st time.
Sure, and they just feel the power of the magic.
There's a thing I've noticed with podcasts. There's a weird line between it's repetitive and therefore it's tedious and boring versus it's repetitive and I know the bit and it's like a call and response thing. And like there's something comforting about the familiarity of that.
Sure.
And I don't know where in that spectrum this falls, but
it's magic. I mean, people love to hear stories about magic.
It's magic.
Over and over. Like
I'm doing jazz hands, by the way, people.
Fairy tales, right? I mean, you like hear that, them over and over again, but
this is a really shitty segue.
No.
Oh, okay. I wondered.
To what? What is
Briar Rose?
Oh,
no,
no,
no.
Right.
Well, how was your week, William?
Oh, gosh. Why am I always
taking
surprise? I love
that the look on your face is like, what?
My week?
First of all, I never expected you to ask me that.
Exactly.
Second of all, I have no idea what happened as far back as this week.
It seems like I'm always surprised when you ask me that question, but you always ask it. But it seems
and
like
you don't have... You have... And I don't mean this, but I mean this literally. I believe if you include waking up and going to bed, you have maximum 20 things that happen to you in a week. And I mean each individual day and night is counted.
Well, it depends.
That's the most you have.
Depends on how you count. I mean, for example, if I'm working on my Constable Bluehawk story, I could be researching tons of things several days in a row to build that little alternate reality Bible. I mean, that can be really
involved.
Did
you do that this week?
I did some of that, yeah.
All right.
We
so
watched...
That's one, plus we're going to assume you went to sleep and woke up, so 14 more to 15.
Right, but the thing is...
So five more things.
Most of it's stuff that nobody's going to care about. We did watch Hemlock Grove. We watched it, all of the shows.
Oh.
Here's the thing about that show.
It gets a little bit better after the first two episodes?
No.
Oh, that's what the producer thinks. After the first couple, I'm not saying it gets into good, but...
No. Apparently. No, I wouldn't say... The problems that...
You should hear her describe the werewolf transformation. It's pretty hilarious.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. It's not good like that. There are a few things that I liked about it, which is what kept me watching to the end, and even in spite of some things happening that I would normally stop watching a show at this point, because there's...
Foreigners.
No, it's... There's pretty gratuitous...
Foreigners.
Anyway, what I liked about it was I liked that for the kind of werewolf character, his main issue wasn't what it is for a lot of werewolves, you know, the whole I'm struggling with having this beast within me kind of crap. It was just more of a, this is a secret that I can't tell anybody. And yet, if you don't know this about me, you really don't know me at all. And so, to me, that's something that I try to write with my, you know, werewolf type characters is that. To me, that's the interesting thing about werewolf
characters. And you yourself are a were-gerbil, and people who don't know that.
And for the more vampire-like character or whatever, it wasn't so much about addiction or all the stuff that they usually do with vampires.
It was about how much he looked like a young Christopher Walken.
No, it was. It was about. He does? Do you think he does? I don't think he does. It was about how, he's not really aware of his nature at first, but he does suspect there's something about him that's inhuman, I suppose. Which, again, that's usually something that you have the werewolf character struggle with. But it didn't seem to me to be in kind of a cliche, stupid way. It was in a very interesting way where, you know, again, this is a way that I like to write my vampire characters as their main struggle is, it's not that they have to feed off of other people and that this sort of bothers them. And so this character in the way he copes with it in Hemlock Grove is he gravitates towards being a hero or finding some kinds of hero's journey, I guess, to go on. And he aligns himself with the werewolf guy. And in that relationship, the two of them, it's actually a pretty cool friendship. I really like how it's portrayed a lot. I mean, I found myself, sometimes it was very cliche and stupid buddy movie kind of crap. But there were many times where the characters shared a moment of I don't know how to describe it. It's just the kind of friendship you don't often see in TV or film, especially between two young men. And I thought that was pretty cool.
You realize that based on what you've said, at least one person who listens to this is probably going to watch it, though, despite you saying you don't recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, really.
And yet. It's funny you remind me, and I said I was going to mention this. And also I'm going to sneeze somewhere in here, so be ready for that. but it's building up. I recently was, I don't know, I was coming to some realizations about my relationships in my life and people who I sat down and was like, who are my close friends and like how close and things like that. And it wasn't quite what I think I haven't taken stock like that in a while. Mm. And so it was a little bit weird. But the one that wasn't particularly surprised, but I was mentioning something and Trish was like, well, who are your closest? And I said, well, you're my number one closest friend, because she is. And I said, and William is my second. And she said, like, she wasn't surprised by that, but then she was like, I guess I don't know how much you guys talk in email. And I said, we do some, but not a lot. And she's like, so basically, the only time you see each other is the podcast. I says, yeah, but it's like once a week. She's like, yeah, but it's all on the air.
Well.
And I was like, I guess that's sort of true. I mean, you and I do have talks off the air sometimes, but the large majority of our friendship is acted out entirely in this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Which is weird. And I was saying, because I was like, how I define best friend isn't how much time I spend, but it's like how often and how willing I am to sort of really be honest and frank and open up and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, and I do that on the podcast. And it's an interactive thing, because all the listeners get to hear this side of it. Doesn't mean I'm willing to engage the conversation with them that I do with you. But that was a funny thing to think. I was like, yeah, I guess that's true. I didn't really think of that, but
yeah, I guess I didn't really either. But it's not
See,
as
that's if, why she's the producer.
It's not as if we don't, I mean, the only things that I don't talk about, for example, are things that pertain to people I know.
Yeah.
Which I'm not really all that inclined to talk about those things.
No.
Anyway.
And there's definitely a line, because there are things specifically that you and I are like, we'll talk about this before, or we'll talk about this after.
After, right.
But it's absolutely the minority. We don't, like, have a conversation every time.
No.
Like, sometimes you walk in, we hit record, we finish, you say, okay, see you later, and you leave.
Yep, right.
And we definitely talk more recording than we do not recording.
That's right.
It's pretty funny. Did you play Gone Home?
No.
Do it.
Well, I don't know when that's going to happen.
It takes 3 hours.
Yeah, that's a lot of time. I mean,
it is not a lot of time.
Sure it is.
It's not. You can find 3 hours.
Okay.
Take it out of your sleep if you have to.
Why don't you talk about your week? I always kind of hate to say anything about my week because you've got interesting things to talk about.
I don't have that much interesting. I finished the book I was reading. There's not much to say on that. I'm still playing the same video game. Our DVR is broken.
What about your last gaming night or whatever?
We had to cancel it. Somebody was sick, and at this point, I wasn't willing to do it without them because we're still forming things. We're about to start working on characters, and I didn't want to do that without them.
Okay.
Our DVR is broken, which is partially good timing because we had very little on there, and inevitably, when the DVR breaks, you're not getting that stuff back. But we didn't have much on there. But it's also bad timing because we need to get it taken care of now because starting really soon all these shows start. And it sucks because I was like, hey, there's very little in the fall that I want to watch, I think. Just a couple things. And then Trish and I were talking about it and we actually went through it and there's like 7 or 8 shows. I'm like, damn it, I hope some of them suck. So
all right,
I can stop
watching
them really
then
fast.
Then tell me what you're looking forward to.
Oh, I don't know how much I'm looking forward to. There's stuff I just kind of have to watch, I think.
Kind of have to watch.
To see if it's any good. Sleepy Hollow. That's got me in there. I'm going to watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to be the guy who doesn't watch that.
Maybe I'll be that guy.
Doesn't
count if I'm that guy, though, does it?
No, never. I kind of want to watch the Blacklist, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to watch The Crazy Ones on CBS
because
I want to see what TV show actually got their hands on Robin Williams for a weekly show.
Yeah.
What
about The Goldbergs? You going to watch that?
I don't think so. I don't know that I know what that is.
It's set in the 80s and something.
I don't
what about
so.
Dracula? You going to watch that? What's his name's in that?
I forgot about Dracula. I might watch Dracula. Is that CW?
No.
Oh, then I might.
Almost Human? Almost Human. Are you going to watch that?
I don't think I even know that one.
Yeah, Carl Urban is a cop, and he's paired with an android.
Fucking A. Who's doing that one?
I don't remember.
Jesus, how do
but,
I not know
But that's
this
one
stuff?
I want to watch because, you know. That sounds really cool.
And Carl Urban.
Carl Urban is the cop, but the guy who's the android is also somebody. Ely. His last name's Ely.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of other things he's... Well, he was in Flash Forward, but that's not going to mean anything here, I don't think.
It will. I watched all of Flash Forward.
You did?
I did. I'm sorry I did,
okay,
but
he
I
was,
did.
He was the guy who... He was like a FBI... not FBI. He was some government agent who was always kind of...
He's not the black dude who killed himself.
No.
He's not Joseph Fiennes or John Cho.
No.
We're narrowing it down quickly. And it was a dude.
Yes, it was a guy. African-American gentleman.
But not the one who killed himself.
No. No. This...
I think we only had one black cop. Or one black FBI
No, this guy. Was like a federal agent of some kind who was always, you know, that the FBI didn't like him being involved with the investigation. And he was always... He was kind of antagonistic toward the FBI team that we were supposed to be rooting for.
I have avoided a lot of that from my mind.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll look him up.
But anyway, he's going to... I mean, you know, not like a robot-y looking android, like a human-looking android.
Which a replicant.
It's exciting because, you know, of course, I'm a huge fan of Isaac Asimov, and his first robot novels were kind of along these lines.
Yes.
So. And I like Carl Urban, so...
There's a couple of sitcoms that I'm going to watch. I don't remember what they are now. But there's a couple of those that are coming. Yeah, there's just stuff. I don't know. and I saw a movie last night. I saw Riddick.
Oh, jeez. I can't believe you saw that.
It wasn't my date night, but we were gonna. We were always gonna. The producer has a thing. She thinks she has a thing for Vin Diesel. I just think she has a thing for Riddick.
Oh, she likes these movies.
Well, we both... like Pitch Black. I think Pitch Black is a good sci-fi
Pitch
horror.
Pitch Black
film.
Was all right, I guess, but I couldn't figure out how...
Pitch Black gets better with repeated viewing, in my opinion.
I couldn't... When I first heard that they were making stories just featuring Riddick, I thought, why? I mean...
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Chronicles of Riddick is a hot mess. The producer still enjoys it. She knows it's a hot mess, but she enjoys it. And
okay.
It's amusing to me. But yeah, so that we were never not going to see this.
I see.
You never ask me what I thought of them. I always wait for you to do that, and you never do.
Why do you wait for me to ask you?
Because it's polite.
What if I don't ask? You're just not going to tell me?
Then I bitch about it. This is what usually happens right here.
I do.
I say, you don't. I complain
about
it.
No, that's
it,
not
then
true.
You usually do out of guilt.
It's on record. I often ask you how it was.
All right,
Especially if you wait long enough, and I know that's what you're waiting for, I'll ask you.
Go to the blog, people, and tell him he's wrong. No. TheMagicTalkingHat.com.
I know I sometimes
even if
don't.
If he's right, tell him he's wrong.
But sometimes I do, and sometimes you don't even give me a chance. You just talk about it.
I will make you a bracelet. it was not good.
Well, that's really not a big surprise. I mean, I can understand someone liking it if they're a fan of Vin Diesel or Riddick in general.
Well,
I mean,
and we were.
Because we watch at our house... We've got all of the Resident Evil movies. They're not good, but you know, because people in the house are fans of her and the whole zombie thing in general, we pretty much tolerate the stuff that is crappy.
Right.
So I get that, but
let me talk.
So far
we've said more about Resident Evil than about
I
Riddick
was just saying
movie.
I get why some people are into it, but I'm not.
It's not good. First of all, you seen Pitch Black?
Yeah, it was all right.
This is Pitch Black.
Okay, so what's wrong with that?
Except worse. The producer yelled in the background, except not good. So, Pitch Black, a bunch of people on a planet with Riddick, and when the sun goes down, scary monsters come out. This movie, bunch of people on a different planet with Riddick, and when it starts to rain, scary monsters come out.
When it starts to rain?
Yes, this time it's not dark, it's rain. When it rains, they come out.
Okay.
The same guy made both of these movies. I don't mean Vin Diesel, I mean the director and writer in this case.
All right.
Like, seriously. But, Pitch Black, the main reason it's good is you've got a bunch of disparate characters there. You tend to flesh them out somewhat, and their interactions in this sort of survival scenario is what makes it an interesting thing.
Yeah,
we
sure.
don't have characters. I mean, there are people, and theoretically they have traits. They aren't really... They're incredibly one-dimensional. They have no particular relationships to speak of. So all that was good about Pitch Black is gone, not to mention you're repeating everything. And on top of that, it's problematic in some kind of offensive ways.
Really?
There's some rapey shit going on.
Oh, wow.
Katie Sackhoff is here. I like her. She does well. I would have been much happier if her whole part just didn't exist in this. It's really... There's a lot of stuff that really bugged me, and it all revolves around her character. So I would... Now, I'm torn. Now, if you have to see Riddick or Elysium, see Riddick. I'll tell you that right now. It's not Elysium bad.
It's not Elysium bad.
With Elysium, I said, don't see it. Nobody see it. Nobody see Elysium.
Yes,
not
yes,
saying this here. Right. If you feel your sensibilities are similar to mine, if you consider yourself a feminist, if you liked Pitch Black but didn't love Pitch Black, don't see this movie. If you like action movies and are willing to overlook a lot of faults, and I don't just mean like faults of being stupid, but the faults of being offensive, you might like this. I can think of people who would be fine with this. Not that they would be into the parts that I find offensive, but just that they would be like, oh, it's not a big deal. So it's possible it's out there. It's basically take a really obnoxious 1980s action movie, back when people were too stupid to worry about this stuff and political correctness hadn't taken off, and so there's all sorts of sexism and implied misogyny throughout and nobody really cares. It's that movie with much better special effects. And okay. That's it. So, probably not. But it's not Elysium. It's better than Elysium, just not much better. So, that's what I have to say about that.
Okay.
World's End is good. Go see The World's End.
Are you going to watch Hemlock Grove then? Or
I don't believe so. The producer and her sister are watching them right now.
See, the thing about that is, I kind of wish you would.
Hey, you had time to watch all of Hemlock Grove. You have time to play Gone Home.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was watching that with, you know, people, but...
No, but dude, you got to trust me on this.
Yeah,
How often have I told you to play a video game? Very seldom.
Very seldom.
I think your whole family's going to want to play this game. I think you're going to find it to be very impressive.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not going to... It's a long movie.
I kind of think it would be cool if you did, but then there are so many things about it that I know you won't like, because I hated it too.
Yeah.
And it was, it's barely worth it, but I don't know.
I think just because it seems to have a complex mythology, and I don't think it's going to get another season, I may go on to Wikipedia and read up on it. I do that with
no, but you don't. You won't get to see that relationship between the characters that I'm talking about that I think you'd really appreciate. And it won't. It won't overcome the problems. At least I know it won't. But it's so rare. It seems to me so rare to see that kind of relationship between two young men, especially, that it was kind of nice. I mean, even the person I was watching thought that was really cool, and they liked that part of it. And we were both really disappointed that they could get something like that that's so rarely right in a story, and then get so many other things so terribly wrong. But I don't know. It's hard to say, but...
Well, after the producer's done, I can check with her, too. It's only 13 episodes. Okay, but now we have to talk about the important thing that happened this week.
Okay.
That was not the important thing. I went and visited Azure Talon in the hospital.
Oh, you did? Okay, I see. We talked about it.
Saturday.
I couldn't go on Saturday, so I wasn't sure if you actually went or not.
Yes.
How was he doing?
He's doing great. Yeah. I've got the whole story.
Okay.
Which, even in bits, or like going back quite a way, basically going back in as far as when he sort of relapsed, I didn't have the whole story.
Oh.
It's pretty... I knew he had had a seizure, and then he went back to the hospital, and they found it in his brain.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he had a seizure in public, and his wife had to keep him alive with CPR for, like, 8 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was out for 5 days. He woke up in the... Like, he was eating dinner, and then he woke up at the hospital 5 days later.
Wow.
And I didn't know that the stuff they've been doing had stopped working. And they just came up with something brand new, and they said, this could work. If it doesn't, we're out of ideas. If it doesn't, we're doing radiation, and that'll keep you alive for about another year, and then you're gone.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know any of this. Because, understandably, he sort of kept to himself with
this.
Like,
he wasn't
reaching out and emailing podcasts when the
right.
show was going on.
Right,
and so
right.
he finally emailed us just a little while back, because suddenly things are really good. Like they did this new treatment thing, and 2 weeks later, after he's had a couple of the treatments, 75% of the cancer's gone. So things are going really well now.
Well, do they know why there was a relapse and why the other?
No, but that's the thing is, I mean, it happens, but it's very rare. Lymphoma doesn't go into the brain. But when it does, like, well, apparently any cancer, when it gets into your brain, is bad shit.
Well, sure, yeah.
And so lymphoma, which is relatively not a big deal cancer, when it goes into your brain, really sucks. And just not just because, obviously, it's your brain, but the blood-brain barrier means things like most chemo treatment and stuff won't go in there.
Mm.
So if it gets into your brain, all the shit we have to fight it won't follow it in there. Mm. Radiation you can do, but you have to be really looking careful with that. So it's been a pretty horrific thing, and all that, but now he's doing really good.
Well, what was the other treatment? What was the alternative treatment?
It's just different drugs.
Drugs, okay.
There's like three that he's doing now, including one I find interesting. My recently former boss, who I still work with and sit right next to, her husband, I think I talked about, he had a brain tumor that they sort of dealt with and stabilized 20 years ago, and then stuff was acting up again. But 20 years had gone by, so they're way better at this shit. So when it was inoperable before, they were like, we're going to go in and get it. And they did, and it went really well. But he's on stuff now, an oral chemo. It's the exact same stuff as one of the drugs that Azurtalin's doing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so he's on three things, and it's all on different schedules. He's going to be here in a couple weeks again.
Okay.
But you know, so now he's doing really good, and he's very... And the whole thing, he's got that whole new lease on life vibe. It's kind of sickening. He's super positive now.
well, good for him.
And his wife are going to renew their vows once this is all over, and we're all invited. And
wow.
All sorts of stuff. He's still got something to go because what I've learned now, dealing with a lot of people with cancer, because it's fucking everywhere, is once you're done fighting it and it's all gone and we can't find it anymore, we basically do one last range of just fuck up your entire body. So that we can get rid of whatever little bit is left. Like, the bits that we can't do. Because, better safe than sorry. Because if there's some little tiny bit and it grows again, then it's bad. In my mother-in-law's case, it was, like, weeks and weeks of radiation after it was all done and there was no detectable cancer anymore. Apparently, with the lymphoma and in Azurtalin's case, in the past it would have been a bone marrow transplant.
Jeez.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
I believe that the spinal tap's the only thing. Those are the two most painful procedures I think I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore,
which is good.
Yeah. What they do is a little bit longer, though. They basically pull out a bunch of your stem cells and flood your body with heavy-duty chemo, and you basically sleep through 3 weeks, and then they put them back in with donated cells. So they just essentially, it's like a fluid flush on your car.
Jeez.
With a person. And it'll be like 3 weeks long, but he'll just be, I mean, he won't be like a coma, but mostly he'll just be weak and sleepy the whole time. But that'll be a last sort of clean house kind of thing. So there's still some time going on here, but things are doing so well now that, things look really good.
Well, I mean, that's really good news.
And he's bored, so I got him. I forgot to mention last week, and I feel really bad about it because it's too late now. The Humble Bundle last week online was stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
There was a ton of it. And I felt bad. I meant to mention it on the podcast, and I forgot. But I had gotten it. And so I got another one as a gift for him so that he could listen to it while he was there. I figured that would be cool for him.
That's nice.
Keep him entertained because, you know, he's coming regularly enough and all that. His family can't come and visit as much. I don't think he gets a lot of visitors, though.
Oh.
So, I mean, he's not there for nearly as long anymore, but...
Well, during that three-week stretch, is he going to be here that whole time?
I believe so.
Boy.
But, it, like I said, he'll be sleeping.
Yeah, I guess.
Of the three treatments he has now, two of them he doesn't have to come here for, which is why he only is going to come, like, every 2 weeks.
I see.
But it's a thing. I mean, they have to put it in him, and then they have to flush it out, and they can't send him away till they've done both of those things. So,
right,
you know, it's minimum 3 days. But, yeah. So, that was that.
Well, it's really encouraging news. I'm really sorry he has to go through all that.
Yes. But here's the real important thing.
There's always a next real important thing.
In Riddick?
Yeah.
They actually take, like, 10 minutes to genuinely tie it to the previous movie. It's not like with Highlander where we're just pretending Highlander 2 didn't happen. They actually tie it together to the degree that they actually got Carl Urban to come back for, like, 90 seconds. He's in the movie for, like, 90 seconds.
Hmm.
It was pretty hilarious.
Well, I'm never going to see it, so...
Good job.
Riddick's not my kind of thing.
Supposedly, Riddick is largely based off of Vin Diesel's long-term D&D character he played when he was younger. I do know that he played a lot of D&D when he was younger. The other part I'm less sure of. I also know that he put up tons of his own money to make this. This movie was never going to get made. He traded in his fee for one of the Fast and Furious movies and ponied up a bunch of his own money to make this movie.
Well, I hope now he knows why it was never going to get
made. Well, it was the number one box office last weekend.
Really?
It was really, really low, because that's like the worst weekend of the year for movies.
I don't even know for the rest of the year what movies are coming out that are even interesting to see.
Well, Gravity's out right now, and it's getting really good reviews. I do not know why I'm completely repulsed by that movie.
I don't know if I'm repulsed, but I'm not interested either.
I don't know what it is. I like both of those actors fine. I'm not interested.
Well, I'm not interested either.
It was very weird. Saw a trailer for 47 Ronin, starring Keanu Reeves. it was weird.
Yeah, the words starring Keanu Reeves, that usually makes whatever it is go right to the
47 Ronin.
Not going to see it, Ben.
Starring Keanu
for
Reeves.
Me.
I'm probably going to see it because they threw a shit ton of money at it to make really cool, like, set piece and special effects of, like, cool martial arts fantasy movie.
I suppose.
But I'm not going to enjoy it.
Well, I'm not a big martial arts movie fan anyway. I mean, there are some that I've seen and that
so
I
pretty,
like.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, stuff like that. But it's not a genre that I just have to go see a movie like that.
In general, I don't. But they, anytime you're doing a fantasy, sci-fi, anything like that, that it really just looks gorgeous, I will usually go see it just because it looks gorgeous.
And because Keanu Reeves is in it, right?
That's the main reason. I will follow Keanu anywhere.
The producer likes Vin Diesel and Tony likes Keanu.
had an epiphany recently.
Okay. That's
I'd
a
like
cool
to
word,
share it
epiphany.
With you.
I like that word.
Had a major epiphany.
Go ahead. Do I have to, like, ask you?
No, I want to
Do I have to beg you to tell me?
No. I'm
Please tell me.
Prepare yourself.
Please tell me about your epiphany. For this. Will you please tell me?
This could blow your mind. Get ready.
Tell me.
Hold your mind together.
I have to know.
Jeopardy is a really shitty name for the game show Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never did understand that.
It's the most vague. It's the second most vague game show title you could have. The first being something along the lines of calling your show, sometimes you'll win, sometimes you won't. Which I now kind of want to make a game show called that.
Well, is it just about how always at the end of the show, there's one question and everybody writes down their question, so it's like a triple Jeopardy kind of situation
final
where
Jeopardy, I believe.
Well, but I mean, there's three people or four people, yes. Whatever. Is that what it's based on? The ending?
I think it's based on the fact that all game shows, by definition, have an element of risk, and therefore you can call any fucking show Jeopardy.
I guess.
I think it's just terrible.
I never really thought about it like that.
You could take any game show, call it Jeopardy. Game show.
I get that. It's just, I always thought the name was just sort of not, like, it even has an exclamation point at
yes,
the end.
Yes, Jeopardy!
Like, well, it's just a game. I mean, I don't that's know. This doesn't seem...
Some game shows have, you know, like a theme, a sort of motif to
sure.
them.
Sure, Wheel of Fortune.
Well, no, and ones that are like, oh, it's dangerous, you know? Fear Factor. It'd be
oh,
like,
okay,
like,
sure.
Fear Factor could totally be called Jeopardy.
Yeah, I suppose.
And that would make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the same way that Jeopardy is called Jeopardy, because there is an element of risk, you could call any show Jeopardy, and it would be just as, it would make just as much sense.
I guess so.
Because you can't have a game show otherwise. Like, you can't have a game show that's just like, you show up, we'll give you money.
Well, like, but some game shows you actually, like, what's the show that always had the Doors?
Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah, Let's Make a Deal.
There's still Jeopardy involved there.
There is, because yes. You have to, you're actually risking, you're like
exactly.
betting something in a way. Mm. Well, but a lot of times, like, in Price is Right, their little games they have,
yeah.
Sometimes you don't risk anything, you just guess, and if you guess wrong, you lose. I mean, you don't really, you don't really put anything up to risk. You do for Let's Make a Deal. You pick a door and then you have to choose the...
There are certain game shows where you win something and then you are betting that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Those shows would be more appropriately named Jeopardy than the other shows.
And Jeopardy's one of those shows. Because,
no, it is not.
No, yes, at the end you bet how much money you're going to get the question right.
But
and this is the very end.
You can't say, I'm not going to do it, and walk away with the money you have. You have won nothing by the time you reach Final Jeopardy.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There are other shows where you win this. Do you want to keep it, or do you want to try?
Well, but in a way you have, like, you're betting the... Well, no, maybe
you bet zero, you still might lose.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Terrible name. And it really shouldn't be used on a game show at all.
Well, yeah,
I'm going to start a game show. I have no idea what the premise will be, what the process will be, but it's going to be called Some People Win, Some People Lose. Something like that. Win some, lose some, something like that.
I think you should call it OMG with an exclamation point. Just call it that. Why not?
No, I want to call it something with an ellipsis followed by, or with an interrobang. I really want to use Interrobangs more in life.
Why do you call your game show OMG with an exclamation point? I don't know. Why is Jeopardy called Jeopardy?
Exactly.
And then that's the only answer you have to give.
Or if I want to be like less direct, I'd be like, well, I was going to call it Jeopardy. Because my show should actually have Jeopardy in it. And I was going to call it because of that. But that other show took it. I don't know why.
I think I'm going to call my game show Jeopardy Go.
Once?
With an exclamation point.
Once. Jeopardy Assemble. Jeopardy Extreme. Once I had a parrot, and it could talk, but it couldn't say feed me, So it died.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Textbook joke there. I also have another joke about a child in a welding mask. I don't think this is the appropriate venue for it.
That's good. Because if you don't think it's appropriate, I don't probably don't think it's appropriate.
It's not a clean joke, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It is, however, really funny.
That's good. Moving on. You know, we should really draw something from the hat, because that's why we're here, really.
The hat will get angry.
I know that...
Hat's mad.
I know we've had a show where we didn't draw anything from the hat, which still really...
I think my asthma came back.
We're on borrowed time because of that, I think.
7 days. When you listen to this podcast, you'll listen to another one in 7 days. It's a curse. Shared by many weekly podcasts, so don't get too excited. Come on, seriously. Nobody was into the idea of an audio version of Bill Cosby's picture pages that's directed at synesthetics.
Nope.
Come on, that's awesome.
Dear the Magical Talking Hat.
That's us.
With original programming, is Netflix changing the way we watch television, Kiabi? How weird that this question...
Changing the way William talks about it.
How weird is this question? I mean, and I was just talking about a Netflix original show.
That is weird.
This happens a lot on the show when you think about it. These little synchronicities.
It's magic.
Anyway, with the changing language. I don't know.
Yes, please. Restate the question for the benefit of all involved.
I'm restating it for myself.
But mumble it.
I'm restating it for myself.
This is blah, 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 blah.
I mean, do you think it's changing the way we watch television? I mean, we're already watching...
I don't know that I think it is. I hope it is.
You hope it is?
Yes. I long for a world where... I like the entertainment integration idea.
Oh, I do too,
I like that my games, my shows...
But I thought...
That, and I don't like having to schedule it on somebody else's schedule.
I thought that was already happening, though. I didn't... I mean, I thought that Netflix having original programming was part of the change that had already really started taking place.
I think it is.
Rather than...
But here's the important part that hasn't fully happened yet.
Okay.
At present, the DVR means people aren't watching shit live. However, people are still buying commercials on television shows that we can now fast forward through or even watch on Netflix and never see the commercials. And that's where the money is. So what they have to do is change the way their advertising works.
What do you mean?
I mean the money that is powering television is still operating as though things are the same way.
Because of commercials?
No, commercials are the manifestation of such.
Okay, but how would they change it?
Well, Hulu does it some. They've actually got commercials embedded into the television show, like into the videos. Banner ads. I don't know entirely. But the point is, commercials are now useless. But that's still where most of the money is.
Well, yeah, but they figured that out, you know, a few years ago when they started putting product placement in the shows, which was not an innovation, really. They used to do that in radio, so
this is
something that they're doing a lot of.
But I believe the bulk of the money is still going into the regular television commercials, and
the process
is always going to be essentially chained by that. It can only move so far as long as the dollars. It'll only move as fast as the dollars follow it.
But you suspect they'll come up with something.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't think it's going to stay this way. I do think it is. I think regular TV commercials are going to be a thing of the past, and because regular TV is going to be a thing of the past.
I don't know. I mean, when you watch something online and you're forced to watch these commercials before your show starts, I mean, you're forced to watch. I mean, it's just like television.
Yep.
Why should they change that? I mean,
I'm not talking about changing that. I'm talking about the fact that on television right now, they still have commercial breaks.
Yeah.
Where they still show commercials.
And then what I'm saying is...
That's going to go away.
But why would they?
Because people aren't watching them.
On television, you mean?
Yes.
But all they have to do...
And yeah, I don't think they serve a useful purpose, but at this point, the majority of the money is still going to them.
Okay, but what if it's true that they're getting more and more people who are watching... Well, see, I really don't know, I guess. I mean, the whole DVR thing, that's really what we're talking about here, and I don't know anything about that, except I know what it does. The people who watch online like I do, we don't have a DVR, but we don't, yes. We hardly ever watch any television just as it's airing, but when we watch it after it's aired, we watch it online. And there, we're still captive to the, we can't do anything about it.
Yes.
And there's not anything we can do about
it. No, and that's awesome for them.
Yeah.
But at this point, they're still spending most of their money the other way.
So, right.
But to be fair, I think we're operating from a privileged standpoint.
Yeah.
A lot of people in this country and a lot of people outside this country still watch their TV on their TV when it's time. I talk to my sister and I say, are you still watching Castle? And she says, no, we missed a couple episodes because we just weren't home during the time it aired and now we're too far behind.
And they don't have a DVR then?
They do not have a DVR.
Oh, I thought that was starting to get really common.
And they don't have a computer that's robust enough or a lifestyle that goes with it or an internet connection that's fast enough to watch it streaming.
I see.
So I think I don't know if we're in the majority or not. What I do know is the people that still watch TV the old-fashioned way, no DVR, no streaming, no Netflix, are not an insignificant number yet.
No. Well, and the people who watch it online like I do are kind of in the same boat. So really, it's only the DVR people who are really stealing that ad revenue by not watching it.
But
however many of those people are.
Yeah, no. What I'm hoping, weirdly enough, is that more and more companies will stop paying for the ads on television and start paying for the ads that you're forced to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want it to move that way. I want it to move to, I watch everything on demand. I don't even want to have to worry about setting my DVR correctly or wondering if something's going to be preempted or bothering to fast forward through commercials. We get that I'm not watching those. Find a different way to shove it in my face or get rid of it.
Well, when it comes to Netflix, I mean, that's another thing. People like me who usually watch it streaming later, there aren't very many shows where there's a lot of urgency to watch it when everybody else is watching it.
Yeah.
Which means I can easily wait for it, the whole season to be done,
yep,
for it to be streaming somewhere like Netflix where there aren't going to be any commercials,
mm-hmm,
and going that route. But
and Netflix is just releasing stuff a season at a time.
Right.
Just,
and those things don't have commercials, but they but they might. I mean,
I would be shocked if they eventually didn't, because people are going to pay Netflix to do it.
Yeah, right.
Who are they to turn down the truckload of money that's pouring
into their house? So one of these days, if you're watching Orange is the New Black and you used to watch it without commercials,
Jeff Bridges talking about a Hyundai.
There's going to be commercials now. I mean, that's what happened to cable TV. The whole thing about cable was you pay for it, so therefore they don't have to sell ads or whatever, so you can get shows without commercials. And then they realized, well, people will pay for it and watch commercials, so we can make all the more money. So that's what they started
doing.
And
we're all going to start complaining about back when Netflix used to show music videos. Wait.
And then some other service will come along, and the whole benefit to it will be no commercials until everyone has to have it, and then it'll have commercials
again.
Put
it in your brain.
I think this is the thing.
The question is whether or not... I'm not sure I believe... It's becoming chicken and egg. I'm not sure if Netflix original programming and Amazon original programming and Hulu original programming is a symptom or a cause.
Well, as we're talking about it, it seems to me the only people who are ever going to get around ads are people who have, just like the VCRs, who are recording the thing and can fast forward through or otherwise ignore them.
Or
because if you're getting them from Netflix,
are torrenting them.
I suppose. If you get them from Netflix or Hulu or whatever else, one way or another, you're probably going to get ads.
Yeah.
or if you're just watching it from television, the only way to avoid ads is probably always going to be if you're recording it at home. But it seems like only a small portion of the population is ever doing that for some reason.
Well, and the on-demand stuff, the television on-demand, which we have used a fair bit, each network seems to handle it differently. And some networks, the pause and the fast-forward and the rewind buttons don't work while you're watching their show.
Mm.
And then they'll put commercials in the middle.
Mm.
Really hate that.
See, the whole problem here is that no matter how much money they can charge you and get from you with the promise that they're not going to have ads, they can always keep charging you that and get ads anyway.
Change their mind later.
So, and that money's always going to be there, and the advertisers are always going to want their ad in front of your eyes while you're watching a program.
Yeah.
There's just no way to get around it.
Yeah.
So, is it changing the way we watch television? I guess I don't think it's changing it.
Same shit, different decade.
Kind of, really.
So ultimately, yes, it is, but it's all going to end up being the same. And we're sad about that.
I think when...
I genuinely have seen food commercials that have made me crave that food, and I have gone and purchased it. I have discovered this. It's terrifying. It's a very direct... I never noticed it before. I will literally see a commercial for something on TV, and that night I'll be like, oh, remember that commercial? Yeah, that was really good. I'll go get that. And I'm like, it worked! It fucking directly worked!
Yeah.
Like, literally saw a commercial, bought the product.
I think cable changed how we watch television. I think VCRs changed the way we watch television.
Daguerreotype.
I think the CDs are...
didn't change so much how we watch television.
Well, when you could buy whole seasons of a show on a few discs rather than having to have lots
DVDs,
of...
DVDs, yes.
Lots of VHS tapes.
Yes.
I think that changed a little
bit.
Yes,
there was a lot less series buying when it was on VHS.
Yeah. A lot less series buying.
And Blu-ray even more.
Actually,
so.
A lot less series selling. I mean, they didn't try to do it.
The one goes in hand with the other.
Right, yeah. But as soon as you could get a whole series, a whole season, or even a whole series on a small number of things, well, people realized, wow, we can sell whole seasons for a lot of money.
With Blu-ray, you can get
it
all on one.
Yeah, yeah. So I think those things change. But in terms of streaming... and I suppose streaming changed the way we watch television, but I think more in a device oriented way than how often, you know, we watch old shows or something like that.
The ability to watch from where, I mean, the ability for the producer to watch stuff on her computer,
mm-hmm.
or if she wants to, she can watch stuff on the TV in there. And then...
Well, you can watch some things on mobile devices and stuff
That's the thing.
Yeah.
She will watch Netflix on our television. And if I, like, want to play my video game or whatever, or she's watching something and I'm in there and she knows I don't particularly want to watch it, she will stop. She will go in the bedroom with her iPad and she'll watch the same damn thing from the same damn place. Yeah.
So that's
a big deal.
That's different, yeah. Sure. When and where we can watch. The convenience.
Binge watching has become a thing, which that's a brand new concept in the last few years.
Well, you know, marathons have been around as long as you've been able to own the whole series on a disc or whatever. But it is true that...
But it was like an event and stuff. It wasn't like I was sick this weekend, so I binge watched an entire series.
Yeah, right.
It was... I have this whole series, so I'm inviting all my friends over.
Inviting people over.
We're going to watch the thing.
Now
it's something you do because you're not doing anything.
And you can do it anywhere.
Like, I finally had time to watch all of, you know, whatever.
That's true. But I
so I guess we're going back on our answer.
No, not really, because I still don't think it's so much Netflix or any of that stuff that's changing anything. Maybe it's
you.
It's a little bit.
In your heart.
It's a little bit different, but... It's really just streaming.
What does this mean for people with synesthesia? Does Netflix original programming change how we smell television?
I really can't answer that.
And can't or won't?
Can't. Once again, Tony, you ask a question that turns out to be one of the great mysteries of the universe.
I'm full of them.
Yeah, you are full of something.
You're welcome. I lobbed that. I thought you deserved a treat there.
Why don't you draw another question?
Because we don't really have that kind
of
time.
Oh, come on.
We do not.
What?
No, dude. Last time you whined and got me to draw one out, we went 15 minutes over, and everybody thought we were getting a divorce.
Yes. All right, fine. Thanks, Kia B, for your question. Sorry.
Thank you, Kia B.
We didn't have a more interesting answer, I suppose.
I felt our answer was quite interesting. I was interested in Good. Us.
Well, that's great. Glad you thought so.
So, yeah.
I guess we'll see everybody next week.
We will. Well,
or,
as the synesthetics will say, we'll feel everybody next week. That's what the creepy synesthetics will say. I'm always fascinated by synesthesia. I want to experience it. I don't really even understand it. Really, I kind of want to experience that concept.
Well, what specifically do you want to experience? I mean, what... What is it you think?
I don't know. Hearing colors would be neat. Hmm. Smelling sounds might be fun.
Seeing sounds?
I figure seeing sounds just looks like the visualizer on iTunes, you know?
Oh, really?
That's what I assume.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So, on one hand, you don't know anything about this. You're not sure you understand it, but you're pretty sure that one... It is going to be boring.
I'm confident.
That's really interesting.
Seeing sounds is boring. On the other hand, touching smells is disgusting. I feel like I've done that in my life.
Yeah, probably.
I feel like that's come up.
Something tells me you probably have.
Not on purpose, mind you.
Okay.
I worked on the back of a garbage scow at the state fair.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I've touched some smells in my time. See, isn't it good that we held on just to the end here? Because then we got a title for our episode. Also, a title for my new soap opera. Touching smells.
Well, that can mean all kinds of things.
The lives of the young and attractive in the town of St. Rivers. They'll try to win hearts and change minds and amass power, but really, all they're doing is touching smells.
Touching smells could mean...
It does sound like a really, really unwholesome euphemism of some sort.
It could mean a smell that reminds you of something touching.
Oh, it touched me. That's the smell touching you.
Or it could
mean... Oh, I see. That's such a touching smell.
Yeah, it could mean when you touch something, it makes a smell. Like, oh, touching smells. Or... or... It could mean...
Three-year-old... I see something that looks like the Horda from Star Trek. And this little kid just pokes it and, like, fumes come out. And he's like, ew, touching smells.
Exactly. That's right. See, it could mean lots of things.
Like, no smell, I...
Or it could mean you actually touch a smell or something.
That's how we started.
Right. I suppose it's just those three ways you can interpret it. Maybe there's more.
That's the only three. Sorry. If you can come up with another way of touching smells, what the fuck is wrong with you? But also share it with us.
Smells could be a surname, so you could be touching this person whose last name is Smells. That's another one.
Seems weirdly pedestrian after all the others.
But then I suppose...
But you're not wrong. I mean,
suppose the other two could also be applied to this one, presuming it's a surname. So that makes six, I guess. I wonder how long I could go.
We all do. How did I lose control of this complete train wreck of an episode ending? How did you wrest it from my hands?
It's a gift and a curse.
All right, let's get out of here. I got to go touch some smells.
All right.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.